Were all of you guys at the lock-in with me Friday night or something, or what's up with this? Oh, yeah. Well, it is great to see everybody this morning. I hope you're doing well. Hope you've had a good week and a good weekend, and looking forward to a good week coming up. It's always a privilege to be able to be here and be able to speak on a Sunday morning. Be in prayer for our pastor. He's in Mexico, and hope that he will remain safe and see God do a lot of exciting things in his time of ministering there. If you haven't been with us for the last 3 weeks, I want to encourage you to do something. Jump online, go to sunrisebaptistchurch.org, and check out the sermons from the last 3 weeks. Dr. Tim started a sermon series, Greater Life, about 3 weeks ago. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, it has been phenomenal. I love our pastor. He's been here almost 10 years now. And I'm going to tell you, the last 3 weeks, probably been the best 3 sermons I've ever heard him preach. They have just been outstanding. And so I encourage you, go online and check that out. As a matter of fact, I told him this week, when he told me he was going to be in Mexico and he asked me to preach several months ago, what are we going to be doing? He said, we're going to be in a series, Greater Love. And I said, that's fine. I'll just kind of jump in and tag into that series. And then after these 3 weeks, this week before he left, I said, Doc, you really haven't left me a whole lot of room. I mean, he really hasn't. He has preached this series, just, he's covered it. And he's been all over it. And so I really don't have a whole lot to say this morning. So if you would stand and let's pray together. We'll go. No, I'm just kidding. You're not going to get out that easy. Sorry, but nice try. But he has just done a phenomenal job. This morning, we're going to continue in our series, Greater Life, but I'm going to take things from just a little different angle. There are things that I believe called greater robbers. Greater robbers. In other words, there are things in this life that would do everything it could to rob you of experiencing that greater life that God has for you. As a matter of fact, in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it says this, that a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See, I have no doubt that in this life, there are things that would do anything possible to rob you, to take from you, to keep you from having this greater life that God has for you. Now, I want to just be real clear here. I do believe that there are evil forces in this world. I do believe that there is an opposition called the devil who does everything he can to keep people from experiencing that which God has for him and for her. But I also believe this. Probably none of us in this room have ever really seen the devil face to face or ever really dealt with him. But see, he is not omnipresent. So you and I probably haven't ever really run into him face to face. However, I do believe that there are evil spirits, and I do believe that at times they will do whatever they can to attack believers. They'll do whatever they can to keep us from being what God has called us to be. But I say all that because I want to make sure I say this. Beloved, we need to be very careful that we don't give the devil too much credit. Now, I know this might step on some toes this morning, but I want us to be real careful that we don't give the devil too much credit, because the fact of the matter is a majority of us are allowing things to rob us from having this greater life because of sin in our own lives. It's because of the sin that we have going on in our lives. It's sins that we choose to do, sins that we choose to be a part of, and it's those things that will keep us from experiencing what God has for us. So I'm not going to stand here this morning and try to say, I'm not going to pull a Flip Wilson on you. Now, you have to be old like me to even understand what this means. Because if you ever saw Flip Wilson, you remember he was the one who said, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil usually doesn't make us do a whole lot. The reality is we choose to do it. So let's just get serious about this. Let's get real with this, because we're never going to understand and experience this greater life, this life of abundance and this life of meaning until we deal with this issue of sin in our lives. Now listen, I know that this is not the most popular topic. I know that. I know that there's not a single one of you sitting here this morning going, whoo-hoo, all right, Skeeter's going to preach on sin, praise God. I know that. But I also know that I don't have to preach next week, so you can't be too mad at me. So I'm going to get my shots in when I can. No, but seriously, the fact of the matter is that we don't experience this fullness of life because of the sin issues that we have in our own lives. Remember, sin simply means that we've missed the mark. It means that we've fallen short of that which God has for us. It's literally this picture of us choosing something other than God's best in our lives. See, God has a plan and purpose for our lives. And when we choose things other than that, outside of that, we miss what God has for us. We miss the mark. We're disobedient to that which God has for us. Sometimes we know we're doing that. Sometimes we don't. But the facts are, is it's that sin that keeps us from experiencing that full and meaningful life. As a matter of fact, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe this whole thing of a greater life doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever, because to be real honest, you've really never trusted Christ before. This is your first time ever coming to church, and maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been in church for years and years and years, but really and honestly, it's just been a religious thing for you because you've really never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I got news for you. You're missing that greater life. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have fallen short of that. We have missed that mark. We all have sinned. The Bible in Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Isn't it interesting that John 10:10 says that a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy? And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. See, the thief is sin. It's usually the sin in our lives that rob us and keep us from experiencing this incredible life that God has for us. Beloved, hear me this morning. I don't know, and I hate to say it, and this is not an uncaring thing, but you'll get what I mean. I don't care what you're going through. God desires for you to have a full and meaningful life. Now, you're going to go through tough times. We all do. We all do. But even in the midst of those things, God desires for us to have meaning and purpose and abundance. But what happens is we allow this issue of sin, this issue of disobedience in our own heart and in our own life to rob us from this greater life. But here's the good news. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whew, that is good stuff. In the midst of our sin, God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die as a payment for our sin. John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses of all times. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, God loves you this morning. Jesus died for you this morning so that you can have the most incredible life imaginable. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if we will believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, and we will confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says we will be saved. That is the greater life. The greater life for us is Jesus in us. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe for the first time, you've heard that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is this greater life. I want you to know that right now, you don't have to listen anymore. You can bow your heads right here, right where you are. You can simply cry out to God and say, God, I have sinned against you, and God, I need your son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can do that right now. I give you permission not to listen to another word I say, because I can tell you what I have to say is not nearly as important as you trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This morning, if you need the greater life, I beg you, I encourage you, I will do anything I can to help you But to this morning, you need that Jesus, because you're never going to experience, you're never going to understand the greater life until you have Jesus as the Lord, Savior, Master, Ruler of your life. And I want you to know, he is a simple prayer away. You can bow your head right now and you can pray and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. You don't have to wait till the end of a service. You can do that right now. Because I want you to know, it's only Jesus that can really bring life. It's only Jesus that can really bring life. Life eternal, life abundant. It's only Jesus. There's no other way. People have tried to do all kinds of things to experience this fullness and meaning of life. They've turned to drugs and alcohol. They've turned to sexual relationships that are inappropriate and ungodly. They've turned to entertainment. They've done everything they can simply do to try to find this happiness and find this greater life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it is only found in Jesus. You can look high and low, day in, day out, and you will not find it until you find Jesus. So I have a question. Are you living? Or are you just existing? Are you living this morning? I mean, I'm talking, are you living this greater life? Are you living this morning? Are you just existing? I mean, let's just be honest this morning. Are we really experiencing this greater life? Or are we just sort of going day in, day out and existing? See, for some of us, tomorrow morning the alarm will go off and we'll get up and we'll do our morning stuff. We'll take a shower. We'll brush our teeth. Unless you're in middle school, and then you skip that part. I'm just kidding. Don't throw any. I'm just kidding. Don't look at me like that. Okay. But we'll get up, and we'll take a shower. We'll brush our teeth. We'll, you know, eat a Pop-Tart. We'll have some coffee. We'll have a bowl of cereal. We'll do what we do. We'll get in our cars, and we'll go to work, or we'll go to school. And we'll do our job. We'll get done at work, or we'll get done at school, and we'll come home and we'll do our afternoon activities or evening activities, whatever that may be. And if you're playing volleyball, you'll be here tomorrow playing volleyball. And, you know, we'll do our thing. We'll eat dinner, may watch a little TV or get on the computer for a little while, and then we'll go to bed. And then Tuesday morning, we'll get up and we'll just do the same thing. We'll just sort of exist. Just sort of go through the plan of the day, and that will be the extent of it for us. So my question still stands. Are you living, or are you just existing? Just sort of going through the motions. See, that's not God's plan. I just want you to know that. That's not God's desire. God wants more for you than that. God wants you to have this greater life. But we've got to understand that greater life for me means Christ in me. It's that simple. See, to be a Christian means to be like Christ. In other words, to be a Christian really, the word Christian really means little Christian. I mean, little Christ is what it means. It means to be like Christ. It means to be little Christ, to live out Christ. That's simply what it means. This morning, I want us to see three things real quick of how it is that we can live our lives and the examples we can see from Christ to live our lives in the fullness and the meaning and the purpose that God has for us. I want you to take your Bibles real quick, and I want you to open them to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You know, these verses in John chapter 17 is right before Jesus is arrested and he is betrayed. And he goes through the trials and he's crucified and all of those things. So these are literally just, you know, possibly hours, days before Jesus is arrested. And as you know, in John chapter 17, this whole chapter is devoted to prayers that Jesus prayed right before his end times on the earth. And so in John chapter 17, there's this first verse is all we're going to look at. Powerful verse. John chapter 17, verse 1. Listen to what it says. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. The first thing we need to see here is that if we're going to live a life that's filled with meaning and purpose, this greater life, we must live with a dependence on the Father. We must live with a dependence on the Father. If Jesus himself was dependent on God in the most critical times of his life, don't you think you and I should be dependent on God each and every day? I mean, I'm going to confess to you this morning. I'll just tell you. Y'all know me pretty well. I mean, I've been here long enough, and for those of you who've been a part of Sunrise, I'm just me. I'll come up here and I'll tell you everything I do when I goof up. I'm pretty transparent. And I'll just tell you, I struggle with a sin that's called the sin of self-dependence or the sin of self-sufficiency. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I do. I mean, listen, I've been doing student ministry for 36 years. And here's the crazy thing. I still love what I do. I had somebody on Facebook. I put a little video of the lock-in this week. And I had somebody put on Facebook, "You're still doing lock-ins?" And, you know, I'm going to tell you, people say, "Man, you're crazy." I still love it. I love being with these guys right here. I mean, they are what it's about to me. I'm just going to tell you. You know, people ask me all the time, "Well, when are you going to become a real preacher?" Or when are you going to get a real church? You know, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do because I'm doing it with these guys right here. I got news for the rest of y'all. These guys are still moldable. They are. They'll listen. I got news. Some of y'all sitting out there, y'all so hard-headed, you're set in your ways just like I am. You don't need anybody telling you. Don't you tell me, boy. I know. And you're stubborn, you're hard-headed, God himself could come in this sanctuary this morning and smack you right in your head, and you'd go, "What was that?" You would. But these students, they'll still listen. Now, I know when they're at home, they act like they know everything. We all do that with mom and daddy. Because you're mom and daddy. But they'll listen. They'll not just listen to me, they'll listen to the Spirit of God, and they're still moldable. They're still at that place where they really have this dependence in their relationship with God. But so many times in our lives as adults, man, we're so self-sufficient, we can do it. Listen, y'all, I could plan a lock-in in my sleep. I can plan Disciple Now from front to back, back to front, up to down, down to out. I can plan it easy. Just like you can go to your job and you can do it easy. But God wants so much more than just that. What are we depending on God for? What in our lives are we really faithing out to God? What are we looking to him for? We're just going through the motions. We're just existing. And God says, "I have so much more for you than that." I have to be real careful that I don't sit at my desk here and just sort of start planning and doing, and then I stop and I simply say, "God, I know you want more for us than just a plan or a program. Listen, God wants more than that for your life. I got news for you. God did not put you in the school that you're in, and God did not put you in the job that you're in just to go to work and do a job and get a check and have a house and have a car and pay the bills. That is not why you have what you have. And if that's all you're doing there, then hear me this morning. You are being disobedient to what God has for you in your life. Because God has a bigger purpose. He has a bigger plan. The question is, how dependent on God are we? Are we really depending on him? Imagine what Jesus was fixing to go through. And here's the thing, Jesus knew exactly what was fixing to happen. He said, "Father, the time has come." He knew exactly what was in front of him. And what did he do? He went to his father. You have no idea what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You have no idea what's going to happen to you next week or next year. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't it make sense that we would be dependent on the one who does? But yet we get so busy that we fail to be dependent on what God has for us. If we're going to experience a greater life, we got to depend on the Father. The second thing is this. We must live with a sense of divine purpose. We must live with a sense of divine purpose. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew what his purpose was. Hey, beloved, here's the deal. Bottom line for Jesus, he knew that when he came to this earth, his purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. He knew that was his plan. And he knew that was the Heavenly Father's purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And you want to know something? He knew that that would lead him to Calvary's cross. He knew that he would come to this place and die, probably the cruelest death ever known to man, that he would come here and die here for the sins of mankind. He knew the divine purpose. And he was willing to take it on each and every day. For us, do we really... are we really willing to live in this divine purpose that God has for us? Now, I said to you earlier, the purpose God has for us is so much bigger than just existing and going to work and doing the things that God has, that God gives you to do as far as a job. It's so much bigger than that. There's so much more to it than that. And I beg you this morning, seek out what God has for you where God has placed you. God puts you there for a reason. God puts you in the school that you're in. God puts you in the job that you're in for a purpose bigger than just drawing a check and making a living. What is it that he has for you? What is it that God wants from you? Maybe it's the person who works in the cubicle right next to you is in desperate need of a savior. And God's sent you there for just such a purpose. Listen to me, beloved. I want you to understand, God will never give you a purpose. God will never call you to do something that he won't equip you to do. God will never set you up for failure. God will be there with you. It's his purpose. Are we willing to live out what his purpose is? His purpose was to come to seek and to save that which was lost. But what about us? What about us? What is our purpose? Can I just tell you, our purpose isn't a whole lot different. Our purpose isn't a whole lot different. You said, no, no, wait a minute. Seeking to save the lost, coming to die. Beloved, our purpose isn't a whole lot different. While Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible tells us that we are here to what? The greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord our God. The great commission is what? To go and to make disciples. It's not a whole lot different. Understand what Luke says in Luke chapter 14, very carefully listen to what he says. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, listen to this, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's a call to come and to give our lives for the things of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says it this way, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his own son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone who finds his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Doesn't sound to me like our purpose is a whole lot different than that of Jesus, does it? Doesn't sound like it's a whole lot different. But let's be honest. That's just a little much, isn't it? I mean, come on, that's asking a little much, Skeeter. I mean, I like church, and I like to come to church, and I love Jesus and everything. I like God. I'm all good with that. Let's just face it. That's just a little much. Giving up your life, surrendering everything, abandoning everything for the sake of Christ, that's just a little much. According to the Bible, it's part of the divine purpose. You want the greater life? Really want the greater life? I mean, that life that Jesus said, I've come to give you, that life that's full of meaning and purpose and full of abundance. It's found in Jesus and living out his purpose for our lives. The third thing is this. We must live with a desire to glorify God. We must live with a desire to glorify God. I love John 17, 1. And there when Jesus says that prayer, when he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that I may be great. I love that. I love it when he says, Lord, glorify your Son so that I may be the best. Lord, glorify your Son so that my name may be above every name. I love it when he says, Father, glorify your Son so they'll really know who I am. Well, the sad thing is it doesn't say any of that. It all sounds fine because that's the world we live in. But that's not what it says. It says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so that I may glorify you. Even in his death, Jesus desired to glorify his Father. It wasn't just about being obedient to his Father. It wasn't just about that. No, it was so much bigger than that. It was about glorifying his Father. It was about saying, Father, God, I love you so much. God, I love you so much that here is my life. I lay it on this cross for the sins of the whole world. It wasn't about, oh, God, do I really have to do this? Sure, it was tough. And Jesus knew what it was going to be about. Because he even said, he said, Father, is there any other way? But he said, but God, it's not my will, it's yours. It was about glorifying his Father. How many of us this morning are willing to glorify our Father? In all that we do, in all that we're about, we're going to glorify him. We're going to live our lives in such a way to bring glory and honor to the name of God. Several years ago, I was at a Catalyst conference with our staff, and I heard Andy Stanley make this statement, and it stuck with me, and I've never forgot it. He said this, he said, our own personal glory is not worth living for. Our own personal glory is not worth living for. I thought that's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. See, we live for our own glory. We live for our own wants and our own desires. We live so we can get a pat on the back. But here's the thing. It's really about a life lived glorifying God. Glorifying God, it's worth every minute of every day. Every minute of every day, it's worth it. But you know, I've thought about this. If my own personal glory isn't worth living for, then my own personal glory surely isn't worth dying for. If that's my divine purpose, to lay my life down for my brother, to lay my life, to carry my cross, to live my life, to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, if that's what it means and that's what it's about and that's the divine purpose, then my own personal glory, it isn't worth dying for. God's is. It's worth every minute of it if we're doing it for God. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. God's worth it. God's worth it. And in return, God gives us the greater life. You want a greater life? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Craig Rochelle is one of my favorite preachers. And Craig Rochelle, I read the other day a prayer that he had written. And this is what it said. And I hope this will just sort of be our prayer for all of us as we go from this place today. He said, Lord, use me today. Use me for your glory. Make me bold. Stir me up. Give me eyes to see the needs of those I work with. Give me a heart sensitive to those who are hurting. Give me a prompting of the Spirit to minister to those who are around me. Guide my every step, oh God. Greater life is a life lived glorifying God. You want a greater life? I do. Let's glorify Him. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, this whole thing of a greater life is really about God. The greater life is a life that's filled with Christ. Greater life for me is Christ in me. It's that simple. Maybe this morning you're here, and at the very beginning of our message, you bowed your head and you prayed and you said, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Maybe you prayed that prayer with me. Maybe for the very first time. Maybe for the first time you really understood it. And you prayed it. You cried out to God. And you asked Jesus to come into your heart. I want you to know, Jesus hears that prayer. He knows your heart. And this morning, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know, I believe that you're now a child of God. I believe if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe this morning that you entered the family of God. I want to encourage you. In just a few moments, our worship team is just going to begin to lead us just in a song of worship. And if you prayed that prayer, I encourage you, just step out from where you are. Just come down here and just say, Skeeter, I prayed that prayer. Some of our deacons will be available, and you may want to pray with one of them or talk to them. You may want some questions answered. You may just want to come down and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Would you pray for me? And I'll just pray with you, and you can go back, and we'll talk later. Maybe you're here, and maybe you just want to come and kneel here at the front and say, God, I need your guidance. I need your help. I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning, and God has just spoken to your heart, and to be quite honest, God has just spoken to you about the fact that you've just sort of been existing and not really living. not really living that greater life. You just sort of been going through the motions. Just sort of getting up and doing your job and doing your thing and doing your family and doing your life. And you've really missed on this greater life. That's what this is about. It's about this greater life. God has so much more for you. Don't miss it. Oh, I beg you, don't miss it. Maybe this morning you just want to come and kneel here at the front and say, God, I need this greater life. God, I'm going to depend on you. And God, I'm going to live for my divine purpose. And God, I'm going to glorify you in all that I do. Maybe you just want to come and pray. I don't know. But is God speaking to your heart this morning? Say yes to him. This isn't about me. This isn't about this church. It is so much bigger than that. This is about God. This is kingdom stuff. Whatever God's leading you to do. Maybe you want to go get a friend and just pray with them. I don't know. Maybe you're small group leaders here and you say you just want to go to them because you know them well and you want them to pray for you. I don't know what it is that God has for you. This morning, can we just be obedient to God and just say yes to God, whatever he's calling us to do? But this is our time of worship. So God, we give it to you. We surrender it to you. This is not about us. It's all about you. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us as we stand and as we sing.